Back with us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Carlo Broussard. He's an apologist with Catholic Answers, and his latest book is Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs. Carlo, welcome back.
Hey, Anna, thanks for having me back. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. Now, Catholics believe in the primacy of Peter, that he was the rock, the first leader chosen by Christ for his church, who now has an uninterrupted line of successors to today. We know them as the popes. Now, Protestants, Carlo, will argue with the idea of the primacy of Peter, saying that Scripture refutes that. What is their argument using the Council of Jerusalem?
Yeah, they appeal to Acts chapter 15, where apparently on the surface it would appear as if James the Just, aka the Lord's brother, is the one in charge of the council, and thus proving that Peter couldn't have been the head of the early church. And they'll say, well, it seems as if James is in charge because James says, brethren, listen to me, in Acts chapter 15, verse 13. So the imperative mood for listen is being used there. And then also, James decides the results of the council, they say, when he says, therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God. So the question is James leading the council here? And I think the first way that we can meet this challenge, Anna, is that the imperative mood for the Greek word for listen there doesn't necessarily connote authority over the group. Imagine a scenario where we're having a meeting.
Carlo, listen to me.
There you go. And I was going to say Chris Check and Jimmy Akin and Tim Staples are like, everybody's talking at the at the conference table at Catholic Answers. And I say, hey, guys, listen. And then, and then I begin to articulate my idea. Does that mean that I'm over and above Chris Check as leader of Catholic Answers? No, it doesn't. It just simply says I'm requesting their attention to consider my idea. And we actually find this in Acts 22:1. Paul does the same thing when he's talking to the Jewish brethren there, not exercising authority over them, but simply requesting that they give him attention so that he can articulate what he wants to articulate. So that's how we would meet the challenge concerning the appeal to that command, apparent command to listen. It doesn't necessarily connote authority over the group.
And I mean, Peter, he wasn't silent during this Council of Jerusalem, was he?
No, he wasn't.
No.
Yeah, in fact, this is the second way that we want to meet the challenge, is to point out that it was actually Peter who's the one that speaks first and settles the substance of the debate, because the whole council is convened in order to address a big debate that was going on in the early church concerning whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Luke tells us in Acts 15:1-2, it was no small dissension, and Paul and Barnabas couldn't settle the matter. So they take it up to Jerusalem for the apostles and elders to consider it. Then in verse 6, Luke tells us again, there was much debate. And in verses 7-11, Anna, we have Peter's speech, where he settles the issue and says, we're not saved by circumcision, we're saved through the grace of God, and that God revealed it to him. Okay, now here's the key, Anna. This all happens, Peter's speech happens before James rises and requests the assembly to listen to his words. James does direct the council proceedings after Peter's speech, but it's Peter who speaks first and actually settles the debate, because we're told in verse 12, after Peter speaks, and the assembly fell silent. So here's the argument. If James had just as much authority over the group as Peter, or more, then he would have been the one that takes the initiative and settles the substance of the debate, not Peter.
Very interesting. And I mean, let's take a look at these two speeches. Can you offer us a bit of a comparison here between what James was saying and what Peter was saying, and how that kind of contributes to our explanation here as Catholics?
Amen to that. Very well put. A very good tee up there. So James's speech is a pastoral approach or a pastoral proposal, whereas Peter's speech is a doctrinal declaration. If you look at Peter's speech, the content was a matter of divine revelation. God who chose to reveal that the Gentiles could be saved, right? Mm-hmm. And Peter's declaration was more than an opinion. It was a doctrinal statement. He says, we believe, right? Peter doesn't offer his view as some opinion to be considered. He's saying, it is so, this is what we believe as Christians. Now, that stands in stark contrast with James's speech. Because number one, James's speech, Anna, is pastoral in nature. He's proposing certain disciplinary precepts that he's offering and suggesting for the church to consider in order to oblige the Gentiles to follow to keep the peace between Gentile converts and Jewish converts. And he gives those precepts about abstaining from blood and meat still not fully drained of blood and meats offered to idols. And so, and that leads to the second part of second aspect of James' speech. He proposes it, offers it as ideas for consideration. He doesn't like settle the issue. This is what we're going to do, period. He actually offers it for consideration. He says, therefore, my judgment is that we shouldn't trouble those of the Gentiles. Now, what's interesting is the Greek word for judgment means to hold a view or have an opinion with regard to something. And if you read the narrative, Anna, what happens is the assembly doesn't fall silent after James makes this proposal. They actually consider whether they should impose these precepts on the Gentiles. And they come to an agreement and a conclusion at the end. So for Peter's speech, nobody had to convene over the matter. They were silent. For James's speech and his proposal, they have to convene the matter, and they all come to an agreement at the end. Stark contrast between Peter's doctrinal declaration and James's pastoral proposal for disciplinary precepts for the Gentiles.
Definitely. Now, let's take a wider view of this, because the argument here is, I mean, obviously very specific to this story, but they're trying to make a bigger point in undermining what we see as the authority of the Pope today, because he is the successor of Peter, who was chosen by Christ as the leader of the church. So how would you continue the argument or continue the conversation and turn the argument over to your Protestant friend?
Yes, and this is called a counter challenge, and we can simply say, does your church believe that someone has authority to settle a theological controversy in a definitive way, like the early church? Mm-hmm. If not, why not?